The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know if you could tell by my dramatic reading of the gospel passage just how serious this is, just how serious an event this is. I think we struggle against grasping the reality of what's unfolding in the gospel scenes, and I think also the readings, because by virtue of the fact that we surround it with ritual, good ritual that it is, we tend to sanitize what's going on in front of us. Now look, we love and worship Jesus as his disciples. He is the very center of our hearts and lives. So too for Peter. And Peter here is called Satan by Jesus in the flesh. How painful. And painful, I think, not so much in the inward-looking, "Woe is me, my Savior called me Satan" kind of way, although that's serious enough, but that he got it so wrong. He got Jesus, his best friend, the love and center of his life. He got Jesus so wrong. And he would take that reproof quite well. We'd be licking our wounds for a while, but Peter is jump right back up and get going with Jesus. But here's the thing, yeah? If we take the sanitized version of this gospel, it doesn't do enough for us. If we look at Peter from afar and say, "Oh yeah, silly man, what is he? Why is he always getting it wrong?" then we don't grasp the seriousness of what Jesus is saying. If we don't grasp the seriousness of what Jesus is saying, it won't have the effect on our lives that he wants it to have. So look, Peter is right. He's right in at least two ways. Firstly, his confession of Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus is God's anointed king. He is Lord of all nations. He is the right ruler of every human heart. That's Jesus. And Peter got it absolutely right there. "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." Okay, so that's one in Peter's favor. The second part in Peter's favor, he understands the implications of Jesus's suffering and death. So he says, "You're the Messiah. You're the Lord. We're going to follow you." And Jesus says, "Follow me. I'm going to go die." No, thank you very much, right? No. And Peter has no experience at this point, obviously, of the resurrection. So death would be the end of Jesus' mission. How could it be? What does it mean that you're going to die? Because if Jesus, the leader of that crew, right, if Jesus, the leader of this messianic movement, is going to go and die, his followers are going to die with him. Jesus doesn't have to say that part. They know, Peter and the 12, right, they know that they are going to die with him. And Peter's thought is, that's the end. He gets the seriousness of what Jesus is saying right. What he doesn't get is what he can't know. That Jesus, having walked straight into death, will go through death and come out the other side into fullness of life. And when he does, he will send his lifelines back to his faithful followers to live out that life that he has won for us, a life freed from the corruption of sin and death, for the work of salvation, his work, his messianic project to continue in the world. So, my friends, just a little bit of exploring it for ourselves now remains. Discipleship costs everything. Following Jesus costs everything. You know, it's like a little, I try to think of what it is. I don't have the words for it, but it's like a, almost like a wormhole that Jesus goes through death to life. But that hole remains open. Now, in the language of the scriptures, Jesus has gone from earth to heaven, opening the gates of heaven so that the life of heaven can come from heaven to earth. That is the exodus that Jesus has accomplished. That is the new life that Jesus has won for us. But for us to go, to make our journey from death to life here and now means giving up everything. And then we see that everything that we gave up wasn't much at all, because what we find when we give up everything to follow Jesus, when we give up everything to reorganize and reorient our entire life around Jesus, we realize that everything else is simply secondary, and a distant second at that. This is why St. James, in that second reading we just heard, talks about faith that needs works, faith that needs to be expressed in works. Let's pick it apart a little bit. One, what is he not saying? He is not saying that our good works save us. He's not saying that we can earn our salvation. That's an unmerited gift. That's Jesus sending back his lifeline and reeling us in. But what he is saying is that we are saved for good works. And most importantly, we are saved for the good work of God's mission in the world, which is a soul-saving mission. The mercy and love that we receive from God, we are to make real in the lives of everyone we encounter. We are saved for the good work of God. We are saved for good works. Here he says, what does it mean? What does your faith mean if you say to someone who is in need, God bless you, I hope you eat well today? That's an injury to someone in need. Just because we try to make it, say, pious platitudes. Pious platitudes don't feed people. The reason why he can say it is because everything in our lives, everything is given to us by God for his good purpose. everything that we have and everything that we are is to be given back to God, to put ourselves at his disposal. And it has to be real. And we know what that means. There's nothing, my friends, there's nothing that we should hold back from God and from his great mission. Everything we hold back from him will be burnt up in fire, in flames, the flames of purgatory. Everything we give over to him will be preserved for eternal life. So here, what's up? What's left for us but to do as Jesus says, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow him, to surrender our hearts and lives as we do here every Sunday, but certainly throughout the week, to give him our hearts and our lives, everything we are and everything we have, and to follow him wherever he leads.